This morning we are continuing our series that we've been engaged in on Sunday mornings recently, studying about giving all diligence. Our goal this morning is to complete that study, though we have about 20 minutes to do so. But at any rate, we will attempt that. We've looked at several aspects of giving all diligence that the Lord requires us to give. And most recently, we've been looking at diligence that we need to give and being faithful in all things. We want to look at the encouragement as we start this morning's study from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is another passage where the Lord teaches the importance of diligence and not being slothful. So we're kind of bringing it back to where we started. But here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, he says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So we have yet another passage there that shows us the requirement that God has for diligence, its necessity, so that we can ultimately inherit the promises and eternal life. So we have to give that same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So we can't just be diligent for a while. We can't just be diligent in a few things. And we cannot be slothful in anything at any time. So the Lord is showing us once more those principles and how important that is for us spiritually. Well, with that, we want to turn our attention for our study this morning to the motivation that we need to have to do that, to be diligent laborers in all that we do and not slothful in anything. And the Lord does teach us several of the reasons why, which are motivations for us to do this. All of this is based ultimately in so that we can please God, which goes along with what the first and greatest commandment is, to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. When Jesus was asked what the great commandment in the law was, that was what he identified as being number one. And he said the second was like unto it, for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And he said all the law and prophets hung upon those two commandments. Well, the commandment to love one another is built on or based on the commandment to love God first. So everything follows from that. Well, for us to love God is the ultimate motivation to please him in order for us to be diligent in our service to him. There's also an aspect of pleasing others, to love others and consider what is going to be good for their sakes and what they're seeing of seeing us do. And so from that standpoint, if we can turn to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 17, actually verse 11 concludes when he says serving the Lord as he gives us. Again, what is that ultimate motivation for all that we do? It's to serve the Lord. Verse 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." And that particular word translated honest there is the Greek word kalos, which means good in the sense of beautiful. I mean, there's two main words for good in the New Testament from the Greek language. That's translated good most frequently into English in our Bibles. And agathos is one of those words, and it means good. But this is another one, kalos. But that's kalos is good more from the standpoint of the appearance, as it literally means beautiful, good in the sense of beautiful. So we are to provide for what is good or beautiful in the sight of all men. What is going to appear to be good in the sight of all men. Now how many, this is with all men of course, we can see this is including everybody in the world. Now those that are in the world, how much do they know of what is good as God has taught that? But there are certain things that are considered to be good as appearance that we need to take thought for. And he says that we need to provide for that in the sight of all men. And that would certainly apply to our being diligent in so many things and how that is going to come across to others. The same principle we find also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21, where he says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So we have those two places, and that's the word kalos again there when he says honest things in 2 Corinthians 8:21. So that's, again, that word kalos. So the same word, the same principle that's taught in Romans 12:17, we see repeated in 2 Corinthians 8:21. And if we look at the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he says that in verse 21, it's specifically in the context there where they were taking up the collection from all the churches for the needy saints that were in Jerusalem. And so the collection was being taken up from Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, all those regions where Paul traveled on his third missionary journey. And that was going to be carried back to help provide for some physical needs for the brethren that were in the region of Judea. So as the collection was being taken up, and this there was a what would have been a considerable sum of money. We don't know the exact amount, but that was going to have to be carried from those areas all the way back to Judea, quite some distance. And they made sure that there was another brother in Christ who was chosen from all the churches together, made choice of one that was going to travel with Titus and the others that were going to be going back to Judea with the sum of money. And there was a reason why it wasn't going to be carried by just one person, that there was another that was going to be with them. And that's when he gave that principle that we need to provide for honest things, for what is good in the sight of all men, not only in the sight of the Lord. Was Titus trustworthy? Of course he was. But did it appear, did it have a better appearance to everybody for there to be not just one person, but more than one, a second person to be there with the money, to be able to give account that all that was collected was being delivered for the purpose? That kept everything out in the open above any reproach in that way. So how that would appear to others was a major consideration in that choice of how to do that. And that is right. And the Lord is teaching us we have to consider those things, and how that's going to come across or appear to others. And that's one of the motivations for us to be diligent in all things and not to be slothful in anything. I mean, we are in a physical or material world where, as long as we're here in this life, what do we know of as far as any of the things of this world? We're not to love them. We're not to seek or serve them. And how long are they going to last? By definition, all these things that are seen are temporal. We know that. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, verse 18 in particular, says that exactly. We know that's true. All the things, all the material things that exist, they're temporal by definition. They're going to corrupt. They're going to one day come to an end. Well, we could take one position and say, well, why do we need to care for the upkeep or taking care of any of these material things? That's not what we're serving anyway, and it's all going to rot or go away at some point anyhow. So who cares if my lawn is up to my neck if I ever repair something, or if paint something, or take, you know, we could go on with that and look at it from that standpoint and maybe present an argument there that, well, these things that are material, we don't need to care for how that looks or spend any of our time on that at all. But what does he also say? I know what my neighbors would think if I let my grass grow up to my neck. They wouldn't be happy about that. They wouldn't be happy about if the house is in in disrepair. I mean, those things do affect others, their property values and things like that. That's not what's good in the sight of all men. So even though I may not care particularly about my grass or something like that, or painting or anything like that, if it's something that belongs to us, do we have to consider how it's going to appear to others as far as our diligence to keep up with certain things? I mean, that is one of the considerations the Lord gives for us and teaches us to have. I mean, when we go around, I know it's fashionable for a lot of people to go around with holes in their clothes and rips and tears and everything, but anyway, that's strange stuff to me. But anyhow, do we go around, whether we appear neat to others, does that matter? Well, it does. We have certain commandments as far as modesty that deal with another area, but as far as our appearance and all these kinds of things, we do need to take consideration for these matters and be diligent and not slothful in taking care of things. What about being on time? I mean, if somebody sets a meeting for us at work or something like that, and if we're late for that, I mean, does that have an impact on others and what others think? Well, it does. And if we're giving an example of where we're faithful in everything, that we're faithful in time, that we're faithful in all the works that we give, if we've got a task and we don't do it well, is that providing what's good in the sight of all men? Those of you that are in school, I know when I was in medical school, the formula they taught was C equals MD. So as long as you made a C in everything, I mean, that's how you could pass and you could end up with an MD at the end of all that. Well, I mean, how many of you want your doctor to be the C student from medical school? The other joke was, what do you call the lowest graduate from medical school? Doctor. I mean, somebody out there has got their doctor is the lowest graduate from their medical school class. Is that who you want? But, I mean, when we are thinking about things like that or how we're doing in school, we might think, well, who really cares whether I pass this class or whether I shoot for the highest marks that I can get? Well, it has a certain appearance to others. If we're diligent in all of our work, I mean, that's a consideration on how hard we work and the kind of diligence we put into things. The Lord tells us that's something that we need to provide for, what's good in the sight of all men. We need to do our best in everything that we do, be diligent in every task that we have, give it our all, do it heartily for the Lord, not unto men. But do it heartily for the Lord, considering what looks good in the sight of all men. For the Lord's sake, we're doing that. But the Lord tells us that's why we need to do that. So we need to do our very best in everything that we do in serving the Lord. This goes along with what we want to look at next, and that is being an example of a follower of Christ. That's what it ultimately comes down to when we're taking thought for what is good in the sight of all men. That's from the standpoint of who we are. We are followers of Christ. And when we are among people that are in the world, how many other examples of a true Christian do they have? We're very likely the only one for many people. We're the only example of a true Christian that many people will ever see or know. What example are we presenting to them? Well, if we're lazy, if we're not very faithful in what we're doing, if we're sloppy and we're not diligent in whatever we do, I mean, is that, what are they going to think of Christianity? That's not how Christ was or is. We need to follow Christ and be an example of others. Let's look at some scriptures that teach us the importance of our example to others. Ephesians 6:5-8. Ephesians 6:5-8. He says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So here's he's speaking to those that are under authority of others, and we need to be obedient to them, and we need to be doing what we do heartily for the Lord's sake before them, so that we can be examples as the servants of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. Colossians 3, 22 through 25. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Whatever we do, he says, do it heartily as to the Lord. So in what thing or can we be halfway about or three quarters about? Anything less than doing it heartily, our very best. We need to be diligent in everything. He tells us that. Now this is for the Lord's sake, but we are considering what is good in the sight of all men so that they can see our example as a follower of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2. Let as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name, and here he says, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So if we don't do whatever we do heartily for the Lord, if we give an example of slothfulness, if we're giving an example in the world of unfaithfulness in anything, what can happen? When we are identified, at least in their sight, as being a follower of Christ, and then that's what we're doing. He says for us not to do that, but rather we need to count the ones that are over us worthy of all honor. He says that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. If we're not giving our best and doing what we're doing heartily in our service to the Lord in everything, then whatever aspect where we're being slothful or less than diligent, we're giving an opportunity for God, for Christ, and his teachings to be blasphemed by those that are in the world. Oh, look at this one that calls himself a Christian. Look at that lazy person over there, and look at how they... I mean, we can't give any occasion for that to happen. We have to be mindful of that. When are we ever not on duty as an example of a Christian? We are always, we don't clock out from that. We're a follower of Christ all the time. We have to be mindful of the example that we're setting as a follower of Christ, as an example of a believer at all times. We have to be therefore diligent in all things at all times, that being one of the considerations. So we need to be remembering these commandments for that reason. Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 is another one. Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. What is not answering again? I know what my mother called that. Back talk. Answering again. That's what that is. When you're told to do something, you say something back. And that's not in a good way that he's talking about there. He says, not answering again. Well, if we have somebody over us and they tell us something to do and then we say something back to them about it, are we being a proper example then? And if we're really diligent in everything, then why would we do that anyhow? So he says, not answering again, not purloining. That's a word we don't use very often. What is purloining? Stealing. That's not honest, obviously. If we're back talking, if we're taking things that don't belong to us, then we're not being faithful as a steward and as an example of Christ. He says, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Showing all good fidelity, faithfulness. We need to show that. And then how many things does he say there? All things. We need to be showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Adorn, that's what we have on, that's what we're wearing. Again, that's what we are at all times. And his teachings. We need to be a living example of the teachings of Christ so that anybody that sees us at any time, that's what they're going to see. That may be all they ever see. But they need to see it from us. They need to see a living example of someone who knows the will of Christ and is following it with all their hearts. And they need to see that at all times. And that's why it's so important for us to present that example in everything that we do at all times. Another motivation for us to be diligent, and this is something particular in our jobs, and that's so that we can have the ability to help others. So if we do work hard, I mean, the principle tends to be, if we are diligent in everything, typically are we going to have opportunities for promotions and things of that nature where we might be given more responsibility, and what goes along with that? Well, we might be paid more. Well, we shouldn't be laboring for the standpoint of trying to get paid more just so we can love what all that money can buy us. In Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, he says, labor not to be rich. So he tells us plainly, that's not our motivation for work. It shouldn't be. He says, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. There's another verse that teaches us the temporality of all material things. And if that's the reason we're working, so we can get more money, so we can buy more stuff, if it's a love of money, well, our heart's in the wrong place, or we're laying up treasure in the wrong place, and ultimately all those things are going to be gone. But that's not our reason for laboring and for ultimately being able at certain points to be able to have more in our hands. It's not so that we can love those things and have that for ourselves. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Well, what things does God give for us to enjoy? Not the material things themselves. He says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What God gives us to enjoy is doing those good works, being able to help others. So if we do have any amount of abundance, and we all really do if to a certain extent, but whatever that is that the Lord gives goods into our hands, he's giving us opportunities to do good works with those things, to serve him by serving others, and to enjoy doing that good. And that's what he gives us richly to do. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Well, the Lord teaches us to be, to do what is, as we have opportunity, to provide and do good for others. In Acts chapter 20, verses 33 through 35, the Apostle Paul, he did extra work with his own hands so that he could earn money that he could then use to do good for others. Acts 20, 33 through 35, he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So he was speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus here, and he told them that they knew how his own hands had worked to provide, he says, for my necessities. Well, Paul worked to provide to support himself in his physical necessities, as we all must. But he says, and to them that were with me. Now, he could have stopped his, and he made tents, but he could have stopped his work at a point when he had provided what he needed as far as his necessities, but he didn't stop there. He did more work than that so that he would not only be taking care of what he needed, but he did extra work so that he could have to help others that were with him. He had ones with him that were helping in the spread of the gospel, and so he was taking thought for doing some work where he could earn to help them too. So he was setting that example, he said, and how he had showed them how that's so laboring, you ought to support the weak. So when we're doing work, if we have an opportunity and we're doing diligently, we get extra in our hands. What are we thinking about doing that with that? Well, if we're being diligent, the Lord's likely to reward that with more responsibility, more income, especially when we're minded to do everything for Him and to help others. And that's a motivation for our being diligent in everything, so that we can then show that diligence in helping others in their needs. Ephesians 4, verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So rather than taking from others, and of course we know stealing's taking from others what doesn't belong to you, but rather than doing that, he says, what's the opposite of that? Well, when you're working with your own hands, not only to support yourself, but then to have to help and give to others, not taking from them, but so that you can give to ones who have need. So the Lord teaches us that is another motivation for us to be diligent. And he tells us where we started there in Hebrews chapter 6, 11 and 12 this morning, that we all need to show that same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If we will be diligent in all things as the Lord has commanded us to be, ultimately one day we're going to inherit all of those promises that he has for his faithful children. And we have great encouragement for him, therefore, to do that. So may we give the Lord all diligence in all of our service for him and everything that we do always. This is an opportunity now for you, if you're here and not yet a Christian, this is an opportunity for you to come forward at this time and confess your faith in Christ before men and to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins. If that is your need, we're encouraging you to come now, or if you are a member of the Lord's body and need to return to him if you've gone astray, you have an opportunity to come back to him now. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come now while we stand together and sing?